Now it's time to say good morning for the first time in 2025 to Anetsi. Anetsi, good morning and welcome back on the show.
Good morning, Wayne.
And thanks for joining us today. And it's a bittersweet. We all love sugar, but I think I'll leave it up to you to tell us how much we can love of sugar.
It's bittersweet indeed. So I think sugar's got a very bad reputation, but maybe when it comes to health in general. But so what we have to understand is that sugar occurs naturally in some foods. For instance, the majority of your carbohydrate containing foods, for instance, if we think about fresh fruit, vegetables, even things like whole grain and dairy, mm-hmm. they naturally contain sugar. For instance, dairy would be lactose, fruit will be fructose, but they are naturally occurring in the food. And these foods generally we get other benefits. So there will be fiber from these foods, there will be essential vitamins and minerals that we get. If we think about a dairy product, we can expect calcium, we can expect protein to come mm-hmm. from these foods as well. So then because of the added benefits and the fact that it's a natural sugar that's there, the body will digest these foods slower and it will give a steady supply of energy into your body and into your cells, and therefore obviously will not really harm the body. Mm-hmm. And if we think about fruits and vegetables in general and whole grains, there's quite a protective effect when it comes to chronic diseases if we have foods that's rich in, or if we consume lots of fruits and vegetables and whole grain fresh foods, then there's a protective sort of properties that we will get mm-hmm. from these foods that we consume. The problem really occurs when we start adding food, adding sugar to natural foods. So if you think about oats, it's a good example. It's a natural thing with lots of good fiber. But then what we do is maybe we saturate it with lots of sugar or honey or syrup or whatever. And that's really where the problem comes. And also manufacturers that add sugar to different foods to increase the flavor. And obviously also sugar extends the shelf life. If we think about fruits that you would jar, like old jamming or jarring of fruit that we used to do. So it's a way of preserving food and giving it extra shelf life. Okay. And that's really where for us these days, where we have convenience foods, where it becomes a little bit of a struggle that we have to educate ourselves on how much added sugar are we really allowed and would still be okay and acceptable, in part of a prudent, healthy diet, put it like that. So we would generally advocate, if we look at your total energy consumption in a day, so I'll just take 6,000 kilojoules as an example, between 5% and 10% of that 6,000 kilojoules are allowed to come from normal sugar. For instance, whether it would be brown sugar, white sugar, honey, jam, or anything that's been added to a product. So if you break it down, it's 600 kilojoules, which is the maximum if we look at the 10%, which is not that much. The average teaspoon of sugar contains about 65 kilojoules. So very quickly you will actually reach your 10% if you break it down to portions like that. And that's really where the trap is for us. So I'll just quickly mention, so the American Heart Association, their guideline really for them for how much added sugar we are allowed. Mm-hmm. So for the average woman, it would be 6 teaspoons of sugar. That would mean about 25 grams. For the average man, about 9 teaspoons of sugar, which is 36 grams. Children between 4 and 8, 3 teaspoons. And then children 8 and above, 5 to 8 teaspoons.
Okay.
Because I was preparing this for today, for interest, I just double checked on a normal yogurt. If you mm-hmm. think about a flavored yogurt, there is quite a lot of sugar in 100 grams that they add. Mm. So it's about 5 grams of sugar that they add in 100 gram, for instance, of some yogurts. So if your child really is only allowed 5 to 8 teaspoons, it becomes a difficult thing for us. So right. We actually have to start reading labels. So where we would get the most of these added sugars would be soft drinks, energy drinks, fruit juices, obviously the flavored yogurts, and then instant cereals. All instant cereal, so on the label they will tell you the total amount of carbohydrate, and then they will, at the bottom of that, they will actually write the grams of sugar mm-hmm. per serving. So that's an easy way for us to actually work out very quickly how many teaspoons of added sugar. So before mm-hmm. we know it, maybe before breakfast is over, between your coffee, your tea, your instant cereal, and you might have just reached your added amount of sugars.
Yes, yes. In other words, your recommended daily allowance, you've already got your quota by the time you leave home in the morning.
Very easy. It can happen easily. And then not even to speak about things like your sauces, for instance, barbecue, tomato sauce. So unintentionally, we actually consume way more added sugar than what we really wanted to.
And what are the culprits? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to elaborate on what are the main culprits of kind of this sugar loading?
So I actually looked at a few things. So if you think about the chocolate slab, 100 grams these days, a normal slab is not 100 grams anymore, it's 80 grams. But let's make it that's about 12 teaspoons of sugar in there. But Energade, or an energy drink, I should rather say, a 500 ml bottle, you can expect, if there's no artificial sweetness in there, you can expect anything from 10 teaspoons of sugar to be in that drink.
Wow.
The average can, although these days maybe it all depends on the brand, but let's say the average can also maybe you can expect about 8 teaspoons. The flavored waters, which people, so you think you drink water and you buy fizzy flavored water, but you can expect in 500 mils of that to consume about 6 teaspoons of sugar. So yogurt, flavored sweetened yogurt, 5 teaspoons, fruit juice, 5 teaspoons, flavored milks, like whatever brand, give or take, 5 to 6 teaspoons. So it's really, and then children's cereal on average, about 3 to 4 teaspoons, your granolas and your stuff like that, also 3 to 4 teaspoons. So that would mean, give or take, 20 grams of sugar already, and that you've consumed just in these things that we use on a daily basis. And so obviously for us, when it comes to reading labels, because that's really the only way we can sort of, so we have to educate ourselves, but they don't always say sugar. You know, there's many terms for added sugar.
Yes.
So you can expect to read anything from sucrose or corn syrup. They would say fruit concentrates, or fructose, honey, molasses, dextrose, maltose. All of those things will mean that there's added sugar. So you have to go back to the carbohydrate column of that specific ingredient and then actually look at how much added sugar is in that specific product that you are consuming, or bought. Luckily, I've seen in some of the cereals, they start towards actually marketing on the box to say that there is a reduced amount of added sugar. So maybe a good idea for us to focus a little bit on that. And again, I always speak about trying to buy food in its original state. Maybe get the oats, or get the Millimeal or the Maltabella, whatever your scenario might be, buy the real fruit, eat the real vegetable, cook the meat yourself, because unfortunately also in processed foods they would add sugar in some or other way to increase the mouthfeel, because obviously I think the majority of people's out there, that your palate already will tend to go towards sugar,
yes,
or something that is sweeter because it's satisfying and it makes you feel happy and all of those type of things. So people, you know, would buy that thing that they can get, where they get that specific feeling from. But then if we look about, you know, what's the negative effects, then why should we really actually try and be cautious or start looking at what we are putting into our bodies? Mm-hmm. So there was an article, and this is specifically focused on the risk for heart disease. So it was an internal medicine article. They did it. The study was actually done over a period of 15 years, which is a very large amount of time. And they, so I mentioned 10% of your calories can come from added sugar. So in this specific trial, if your percentage of added sugar was between 17% and 21%, so obviously mm-hmm. it's double than what I mentioned, but that actually increased your risk for cardiovascular disease by 38% compared to the person that had an average intake about as of 8%. Mm. So it literally means that your sugar intake is directly linked to your risk for having heart disease, because it also influences your cholesterol levels, and that's really why, because it influences your cholesterol levels, it will increase your LDL, which people speak about as the bad cholesterol. It will decrease your HDL, which is our good cholesterol. And then also it increases your triglyceride levels, which in long term has an effect not only on heart health, but also on liver disease. So there's like a non-alcoholic fatty liver disease that people can develop. And then the other thing is tooth cavities. People don't really think about this, but the sugar feeds the bacteria in your mouth, and then it leaves behind the acid really. Will eliminate the enamel from your teeth. Okay. So if you had something sugary, maybe just gargle your mouth with water and spit it out, because at least you get rid of some of the acid and the bacteria that stays behind in your mouth. And very important is actually concentration, mood, and sleep. So our levels of our glucose levels are directly linked to my ability to concentrate, the ability really to fall into a deep sleep at night. So if you have, sometimes people will battle into go into a deep sleep mm-hmm. if they have irregular sugar levels, and then also mood. So if a man consumes 66 grams of sugar, their risk for anxiety and depression increases 23%.
Sure.
So this is actually quite scary to think that what I eat and drink directly influences the severity of and the effectiveness of my mood. Mm-hmm. And then there's other things like gout and kidney stones, and then not just even to speak about weight. So if we drink a lot of sugary drinks, what happens is it really, your appetite control system switches off, because the calorie, like drinking, doesn't really, so the liquid calories are not as satisfying as the calories that we get from solid food. So therefore, it's easier to add more calories to your regular diet if we drink sugary drinks. And then obviously, without even knowing it, so many times people say, oh, but I don't eat that much, you know, so I don't understand why am I gaining all of this weight. Like, you should maybe ask yourself, what are you drinking?
Because I remember last year you mentioned, we were talking about weight gain on one of the chats, and you mentioned a case where a lady claimed she was drinking water all the time, but still putting on weight, and it turned out that she was drinking flavored water, and as you mentioned, the sugar content.
Yeah, so if with that, which I think it was about, it was almost 2 liters or a liter and a half, so that would make it 18 teaspoons of sugar. So if you just take that away in per day, already you are within a calorie deficit that will help you to decrease the weight that you want to lose. Yeah. So I think the bottom line is, if we have to put it down to some tips, I think maybe start reading labels. Uh-huh. I think maybe think twice before you put 3 teaspoons of sugar in your coffee. And Young mothers, good idea to actually not put sugar and salt over your child's food. Give them the ability to have a natural palate, not to get used to something salty, not to get used to something sugary. So it really starts from a young age. So if there's young moms out there, do your child a favor. And then something like fruit juice, maybe dilute it, put some sparkling water or normal water with fruit pieces on the table for people to drink, and maybe start cooking cereals, flavor your food with something else, like cinnamon is quite a sweet spice, so you can maybe put that on cereals instead of too much sugar. And then obviously with caution, always drink a little bit more water. Be careful for full-on sugary drinks. If you really want to, use a little bit of artificial sweetness, obviously also in moderate amounts. But and then if you want to really do an exercise for yourself, if we think about maybe the average breakfast cereal has got 5 teaspoons of sugar, maybe you decide to have 2 cups of tea, and you maybe in each of them have it. So then you've got another 2. Maybe so you had jam on toast, and tonight you had spaghetti with tomato sauce. And before you know it, you had 3 teaspoons of sugar without even trying. So I think it's just a little bit of education and awareness, and we can actually change a lot of things.
Sure. And that would be the source of a lot of health problems if you are, fragile in terms of health in any way, diabetic or other.
It would start with something like weight gain. So a high BMI generally will increase your blood pressure, and then that rolls over, for instance, to even weight will roll over to insulin resistance, might roll over to having a higher cholesterol. And before you know it, you've got that whole metabolic syndrome with its complications on its own. And it is actually easy to prevent all of these things. If we maybe just make a few small changes and educate ourselves a little bit more and not generally go with the masses then.
And would I be correct in saying that of all the nutritional aspects of your life that one needs to, let's say, watch out for and keep in check, that sugar intake would probably be one of the easiest? Because you are physically taking that sugar spoon and putting it into your tea or coffee or porridge, your cool drinks that you buy from the shop during the day could be a bottle of water instead of a can of your favorite cola. And you're already eliminating X number of teaspoons of sugar.
Yes, it's definitely an easy thing. I think it's an easy thing, but it's easier said than done, because we I don't think our mindsets are generally set to choose it like that, because obviously consumerism and stuff that we see on TV and all of those type of things, we are so bombarded with just buy that thing, but we don't think beyond the thing that we actually buy what's in there. So, but it is an easy thing that we can definitely control.
Relative to some of the other dietary changes that one might have to for maintaining health, or if you've got a health situation, this might be one of the easiest to start correcting.
And maybe this is the biggest one that we never really thought about. We always think about the other things, but I think maybe last we think about sugar, and we always maybe think about fat first and then this and then that, but never really about sugar.
Sugar, which is the start.
Yes.
Well, bittersweet, I suppose one could say. but, once again, everything in moderation. And just in closing, just thinking of somebody like yourself who runs, you would possibly, depending on your lifestyle, your level of activeness, whether you're running, maybe you're working actively, that would also be a factor in how many spoons of sugar per day you could safely have.
Yes, it would change it dramatically, because sometimes if you think about maybe longer races, glucose would be the thing that is easy to consume and to keep your blood glucose levels so that you do actually perform. So if you are a laborer that works with your hands the whole day, because you are consuming and burning that energy, it's another story. Because then there's definitely a place for maybe for added sugars, because it's not always easy to have food available and time to eat it. So definitely exceptions on the the normal rule, but in that case, if you use it correctly, it's definitely not necessarily a bad thing to consume the glucose or the honey or the whatever it might be.
Okay, so once again, at the end of the day, if you are in doubt, maybe consult your dietitian or your medical practitioners. And talking dietitians, if somebody wants to reach you and find out how you can assist, how do they get in touch with you, Netsi?
More than welcome to contact me on 084-609-3989, or they can find me on Instagram at @Unetsi.
Great. Unetsi, thank you very much. Have a sweet week.
And
we'll chat again next week.
Thanks so much, Wayne.
Cheerio then. That's Unetsi with today's Nutrition Chat.